Jiang looked up as Hoshiko dragged a rifle across the bars of the cell. Out of all the soldiers at the prison camp in Singapore's Changi Hospital, Hoshiko was the worst. He seemed to revel in the pain of the prisoners. To the great amusement of his fellow guards, Hoshiko often flailed about while making funny faces, mocking what the prisoners looked like when the interrogators used electric shock. Hoshiko unlocked the door. "You, you, and you." He pointed to Jiang, Kit, and another prisoner. "Come." It was hard work digging out the soldier's latrine in the Singaporean heat. Today seemed hotter than usual. The flies bit Jiang mercilessly as he dug out the latrine. To add to the misery, they were near the side of the road. A cloud of dust kicked up and made Jiang wheeze each time a truck or jeep rushed by. Jiang tried to conjure a favorite memory when he was young and his mother tucked him into bed. She laid a cool, gentle hand on his face and recited poetry before kissing him goodnight. Next to him, Kit suddenly collapsed, dropping a shovel. Kit had been a literature professor before the Japanese invaded Singapore. Now, he was a shell of a man. Hoshiko kicked Kit in the gut. "Get up!" he shouted. Kit lay on the ground, his gaunt body shaking. He did not have the strength to rise. Hoshiko whipped Kit, screaming at him to get back to work. Jiang looked at the rage twisting in Hoshiko's face, and his fingers flexed on the shovel. Only a nudge from the other prisoner galvanized Jiang into working again. When Hoshiko was done, Kit lay bloody and unconscious on the ground. Jiang looked into the distance, beyond Kit's battered body. He could see a line of supply trucks coming up the road in a cloud of dust. "Get back to work!" Hoshiko strode over to Jiang, unfurling his whip. Jiang threw down his shovel and headbutted Hoshiko, wrapping his arms around Hoshiko's hips. The guard let out an oof of surprise as he lost his balance and stumbled. He and Jiang fell into the road. The convoy couldn't stop. Hoshiko screamed, but Jiang didn't make a sound as they were mangled beneath the tires of a supply truck. Hoshiko gradually became aware that he was floating. Down below on the dusty road, soldiers were pulling his broken body out from under the truck. Hoshiko gasped in disbelief. Hoshiko turned his head to see the ghost of Jiang laughing at him. Jiang slowly faded away. But Hoshiko couldn't do the same. After all the pain and misery he'd caused his prisoners, it was Hoshiko's turn to suffer. Days passed, then years, then decades. Even now, Hoshiko still roams the grounds of old Changi Hospital, eager to lure others to their doom. If he has to suffer a fate worse than death, then so will you. Welcome to Haunted Places. I'm Greg Polson. Every Thursday, I take you to the scariest, eeriest, most haunted, real places on Earth. This week, join me on a supernatural journey to the old Changi Hospital in Singapore. To this day, it's haunted. If you can't get enough haunted places, don't forget to subscribe. You can find us on your favorite podcast directory, as well as on Facebook and Instagram at Parcast, and on Twitter at Parcast Network. If you like what you hear, please leave a 5-star review wherever you're listening. In 1935, Changi Hospital was built as part of the RAF, the British Royal Air Force military base, in Changi, Singapore. Painted a light ivory with a sloping dark roof, the Changi Hospital was reminiscent of classic British colonial bungalows. The building's architecture was lovely, featuring external corridors with columns and decorative railings on all three floors. During World War II, the Japanese occupied Singapore and used the RAF military base in Changi as a prison camp. Some 50,000 POWs, including Allied troops and Singaporean resistors, were housed at the base. The fearsome Kempeitai Japanese secret military police were said to have tortured prisoners and committed many atrocities in the Changi Hospital. When World War II ended, the hospital returned to serving the British military. After Singaporean independence in 1965, Changi Hospital began to serve the ANZUC forces, Australia, New Zealand, United Kingdom. Eventually, Changi Hospital was turned over to the Singaporean government and operated as a civilian hospital for many years. When Changi General, a modern, more efficient hospital, opened its doors in 1997, Changi Hospital shut its doors. In the later years of old Changi Hospital, staff began to notice odd occurrences. Unexplained laughter, wailing, and banging noises late at night. Mysterious bloodstains bleached out on the floor, only to suddenly reappear days later. Sudden strong smells, often of a woman's floral perfume. Some hospital staff swore they saw old-fashioned soldiers and former patients roaming the hospital hallways, only to vanish from view. For the most part, employees took this supernatural phenomena in stride. It was simply part of the atmosphere of working at the hospital. Unfortunately, that led to a member of the nursing staff getting a bit too friendly with a ghost at Old Changi Hospital. Nurse Tessa Clark didn't know how to explain it, but suddenly she knew she wasn't alone. Tessa stared straight ahead at the doors, internally cursing the slow, old elevator, praying with every heartbeat for it to speed up. But the elevator took its sweet time. The sounds made the blood ice over in Tessa's veins. Out of the corner of her eye, Tessa could see something moving. But she refused to turn her head and look at the ghost. When the elevator doors finally opened on the first floor, Tessa sprang out, pulling the crash cart behind her. As she got down the hall, curiosity got the best of her. Tessa looked back. A man hung from the ceiling in the elevator, fingers frantically pulling the rope wound around his neck. His eyes bulged. His mouth was a wide open mass of broken, bloody teeth. The elevator doors closed, hiding him from view. Tessa hesitated, unsure of what to do. The ghost was injured. Could she help? A startled Tessa came out of her trance and moved out of the way of a porter who was wheeling an elderly man down the hallway. The porter reached the elevator, pressed the button. The elevator doors opened immediately. The elevator was empty. No dying man dangling from the ceiling. Tessa stared as the porter wheeled the old man in and pressed the close button. The porter raised his eyebrows in inquiry at Tessa as the elevator doors closed. Tessa found head nurse Lim at her desk. "I think I saw one," Tessa said. Lim looked up from her paperwork. "Saw what?" "A ghost." Lim clucked her tongue and fingered a gold necklace with a heart-shaped pendant around her neck. "Poor soul," There are many troubled spirits who died here and did not move on. Lim gestured at a small pile of oranges on her desk. This is for when the ghosts get hungry. Tessa nodded, but groaned inwardly. She had snagged an orange from Lim's desk the other day, not realizing it was an offering meant for the hospital spirits. Lim warned, "Just go about your duties and respectfully leave the ghost be. It's dangerous to get tangled up in the affairs of spirits." Tessa nodded again, since it seemed like Lim expected an answer. A little unnerved, Tessa got back to work as Lim went back to her charts. Over the next few months, as she bustled around the hospital, nurse Tessa Clark occasionally encountered more ghosts. More than once, she saw a British officer dressed in a crisp World War II uniform, surveying the courtyard from Changi Hospital's external third-floor walkway. Then there was the moaning prisoner with shackled hands, who appeared and vomited in exam room 5B. The ghost always quickly disappeared, leaving a puddle of slimy green sick for the grumbling orderlies to mop up. The ghosts rarely acknowledged the living. They seemed to be reenacting their own private hells. Occasionally, Tessa heard moans and mutterings from unseen spirits in the wee hours when she worked the night shift. But overall, Tessa loved her new job and accepted the ghosts as part of the rhythm of Changi Hospital. Once, Tessa was unable to resist her hunger pangs, and she snagged another orange from the dish on Nurse Lim's desk. She wondered if Nurse Lim actually thought the ghosts were eating the fruit. One day in the children's ward, Tessa was giving a girl a shot when the hair rose on the back of her neck. She glanced up to see a little boy's face shyly peek around the corner. Tessa finished up with the girl and gave her a sticker from the treat drawer for being so brave. The girl left with her mother. Tessa prepped the room for the next patient.
"Mommy, where are you?"
Tessa looked up to see the ghost boy right in front of her. She had actually heard this ghost before, but this was the first time she had seen him. He was young, not more than 5. A large, stapled pink scar ran the length of his shaved skull. His huge, dark eyes were wet in his emaciated face. He wore a faded, oversized hospital gown. He was sucking on his thumb. Tessa felt sorry for the ghost. Poor kid, she thought, forced to wander for eternity, missing your mother. Tessa dug through the treat drawer and pulled out a little red high-bounce ball. Crouching, she rolled the ball towards the ghost boy. Another nurse poked her head in the room, and Tessa sprang to her feet. When she looked down again, both the little red ball and the ghost boy were gone. It was a quiet night in the North Ward. Tessa sipped her tea as she looked over her charts. She stopped for a stretch. Only a few hours until morning, and she could go home. The little red ball bounced across the floor. Tessa looked up to see the little ghost boy staring at her. He took his thumb out of his mouth.
"Play?"
Tessa rose from her desk. She scooped up the ball and bounced it across the floor, back toward the ghost boy. Tessa and the ghost boy played bounce and catch for a few minutes until a call button beeped and she had to go back to check on a patient. Tessa couldn't decide if playing catch with a ghost was scary or not, but she definitely found it weird. The nurses were gathering for the beginning of a shift meeting. The nurse next to Tessa nudged her. "Hey, there's your pal." The ghost boy was peeking around a corner, looking at Tessa. To the bemusement of the hospital staff, This ghost seemed to have adopted her. He frequently showed up and followed Tessa around the hospital, watching her with those enormous dark eyes. Head nurse Lim found the situation a little worrying. Tessa just found it annoying, especially when the other nurses teased Tessa about her shadow. Tessa chugged her Kopi Gao. She really wanted a cigarette. It had been a hell of a day. A multi-car pileup with several critically injured accident victims had kept the hospital hopping. It was all that Tessa could do to get through the remainder of her shift. Tessa got to her feet. Oh, what could the fussy old man in bed 22 need now? Tessa didn't see the little red ball bouncing toward her. She stepped on it and slipped.
Play.
Ow! Tessa rotated her ankle. It had almost been a nasty fall. She hobbled into the hallway, the little ghost boy following her.
Play?
Tessa stopped in her tracks and whirled around to face the ghost. No, I can't play. I don't have the time. I'm busy working. Don't you understand? The ghost boy shrank against the wall in the face of Tessa's anger. And then disappeared. Tessa felt bad, but there was nothing more to say. She quickly limped down the hallway to go check on her patient. Tessa didn't see the ghost boy for several days. She wondered if it was odd to care about the feelings of a long-dead child. However, she was glad that he no longer followed her around the hospital. After a long night shift, Tessa paused on the third floor walkway to admire the sunrise. She'd stop by the bakery and get some coconut buns for breakfast. Tessa looked down to see the little red high bounce ball at her feet. She bent over to pick it up. Careful, it'll fall into the courtyard. Ice cold little hands shoved Tessa from behind. Pain stabbed at her as she slammed into the railing. The railing gave way.
Now you have time to play.
Tessa went tumbling off the walkway and landed with a sickening crunch on the concrete of the courtyard, some 40 feet below. An investigation called Nurse Tessa Clark's death a tragic accident. They said that after many years of use, the old, weak railing simply failed. One day, Nurse Lim idly wondered what had happened to the little ghost boy. She hadn't seen him around the hospital in a long time.
Our story will continue in a moment after a brief message. And now, let's continue our story.
From the street, the old Changi Hospital continues to look much the same as it always has. However, inside is a different story. Inside the hospital is a forlorn, desolate space. When it closed, all usable equipment was transferred to the new facility. Since closure, thieves have scavenged any leftover thing of value from the hospital. Graffiti artists have found canvases for their masterpieces, and junk food wrappers and needles can be found in odd corners. Transients have used the space as a shooting gallery. In a few areas, the roof is beginning to cave in, and mold has sprouted on some walls due to the tropical climate. For a variety of reasons, some would say supernatural reasons, the government's attempts to sell or redevelop the old Changi Hospital property have fallen through. 21 years after its closure, the old hospital continues to stand empty and neglected. Old Changi Hospital has become a legendary destination for urban explorers. Drawn by the rumors of ghosts, many adventurers from all over the world have made pilgrimages to Old Changi Hospital. Pictures taken by explorers have captured mysterious figures in the background. In online paranormal forums, users trade tales of their spooky adventures at the hospital. Some claim that shadow people have followed them home. A few TV shows and movies even used Old Changi Hospital as a set. Notably made there was a horror movie made about a film crew having supernatural encounters. Concerned with the frequent trespassing, the Singaporean government has increasingly added security measures to the property. However, that's not enough to prevent some adventurous teens from taking a trip to Old Changi Hospital. Tien poked Raj while they crouched in the bushes, while Jay used wire cutters to cut a hole in the fence. "I hope you're not going to film us the whole time." Raj shrugged. "How else can I prove or disprove those Old Changi ghost videos online?" "Shh." Raj held up a can of shaving cream and pulled his hood down low over his head. "It's 4:30, Tuesday afternoon, and I'm sneaking over to spray the security cameras aimed at Old Changi Hospital. Temporary blackout. Won't cause much damage. According to the internet, they only check the feed if there's a problem anyway." By the bushes, Tien shivered as she waited for Raj to return. Something about the Changi Hospital set her teeth on edge. Wait, who was that? She squinted at the third floor walkway and caught her breath. "Look," she nudged Jay. "Do you see that guy?" Jay peered at the hospital and then shrugged. "Tien, trying to psych me out?" Tien pointed, but the figure was gone. "I swear, there was someone up there looking at us." Jay got to his feet. Raj was motioning for them. "Come on, let's go." Raj, Tien, and Jay stood in the main ward of the Changi Hospital. The floor was littered with leaves and chunk. The late afternoon sun filtered in through the dirty windows, creating a gloomy atmosphere. Raj slowly panned the phone around the room. "Second room of our tour, the main surgery. Lots of junk, but no ghosts yet, though." Raj paused the recording. Jay kicked a soda can, and a giant cockroach crawled out. Tien jumped back with a shiver. "I want to go. I have a bad feeling about this place." Raj looked up from where he was kneeling over four giant bolts set into the floor. "We haven't been here that long. See these giant bolts stuck in the floor? I heard the Japanese put them there. Made it easier to tie down a prisoner for torture." Raj pressed pause. He started to rise to his feet when Raj, Jay, and Tien froze for a moment, exchanging wide-eyed glances. The banging happened again. Raj quickly began recording. "We just heard a noise coming from somewhere. We're going to go investigate." He headed off into the hallway toward the noise. "No way." Tien shook her head. "That sounds freaky. I'm not going." Jay touched Tien on the shoulder. "You know Raj and his obsession with the truth?" He looked at her with pleading eyes. "I want to check it out too. You okay staying here by yourself?" Tien rolled her eyes. "Fine." Jay hurried off while Tien pulled out her phone. Usually she liked hanging out with Raj and Jay. The three of them had been friends for ages. Also, she thought Raj had a cute nerd vibe happening. But she was becoming less and less enthusiastic about this particular adventure by the second. The moment Tien had stepped into the hospital, she felt a sense of dread, as if the air had gotten heavy, weighed down by the past. Even before that, the figure watching them from the walkway. It had really been there, even if she only saw it for a split second. Tien tried to send a text, but it wouldn't go through. She was trying again when she heard something odd. Tien looked up. What was that noise? When had the room gotten so dark? Tien turned on her phone's flashlight app. An undulating black mass of cockroaches was climbing the walls of the room. Tien froze until a clump of cockroaches fell from the ceiling and hit the ground next to her. Tien darted down the hallway.
Raj! Jay! Guys!
There was no answer. Tien reached a three-way split in the hallway and spun around in a panic. She wasn't sure which way to go. She cupped her hand around her mouth and shouted,
Raj! Can you guys hear me?
Hear me.
There was something about that weird echo. It was angry. Like it wasn't her speaking, but someone else mocking her.
Raj!
Tien broke into a run, choosing the right hallway at random. There was no way an echo could repeat words out of order. Tien ran and ran, but the hallway seemed endless. She turned a corner, and another hallway stretched out before her, black and unfathomable. Something was out there, beyond the circle of her little phone light. Tien listened. All was silent, but it was there. Down to her very bones, she felt that someone, something evil awaited her in the dark. Tien frantically looked around, holding the phone aloft, but the meager light hardly penetrated the darkness. It was coming for her. Tien ducked into a room, slamming the door behind her. Tien locked the door and leaned against it. Whatever was waiting for her outside in the dark hallway was going to have to wait a long time. She'd stay here until morning if she had to. Out of the corner of her eye, she saw something move. Terrified, Tien held up her phone, casting as wide a light as possible. She was in a small bathroom. There was mildewed seafoam green tile on the walls, and someone watching her? It was only her reflection. A large, cracked mirror hung in front of the stained old sink. Tien stared at herself in the broken, filmy glass, purposely taking large, calming breaths. Her eyes were huge with fear. Tien tried texting Raj again, but the message still wouldn't go through. She looked up and caught her eye again in the mirror. Something was wrong. Tien didn't know what it was. She shivered, and her reflection shivered. But it was off. It moved a fraction of a second behind her, like a glitch. Tien backed away from the mirror. Her reflection suddenly grinned. Tien whirled around. She ran over to the door and frantically twisted on the knob. She couldn't unlock it. Tien banged her fist on the door.
Help! Please!
Her reflection was laughing at her. You dare to disturb our rest. Tien shrank against the door in terror as the other Tien climbed out of the mirror. Tien turned around and tried twisting the doorknob some more. She pounded as hard as she could. Tien's mirror twin grabbed her by the hair. Tears came to Tien's eyes. It felt like her scalp was on fire. Tien twisted around, clawing at her reflection's arm, trying to get free. Her twin's flesh was cold and spongy as Tien dug her nails into it. The ghost twin let out an unholy shriek and pulled Tien over to the sink. She hopped up on the sink, taking a firmer grip on Tien's hair. Tien reeled as her head hit the corner of the sink. Her vision began to dim, and something wet trickled down her aching forehead. The ghost twin stepped into the mirror, yanking Tien after her. Tien found herself in the same bathroom, with the same seafoam green mildewing tiles. But it was colder in here, freezing even. As Tien lay shivering on the floor, the ghost twin stood over her, laughing. Suddenly, the ghost twin stopped and cocked her head.
Hey, Tien! Where are you?
Tien's ghost leaped onto the sink and stepped back through the mirror. Tien struggled to her feet. Leaning on the sink, she pushed against the mirror. But it was solid. Tien stumbled over to the bathroom door. But it was locked. She was trapped, stuck in the mirror. And that thing was out in the real world with her friends.
We'll return to our story in just a moment from the Parcast Network. And now, back to Haunted Places.
Raj, Tien, and Jay were exploring Old Changi Hospital, looking for confirmation that it was haunted by ghosts. When Raj went to investigate a noise, Jay followed, getting separated from Tien and unknowingly leaving her to her doom. Jay felt bad about leaving Tien behind, but he was really curious to know what was going on. Not that he believed the loud noises were ghosts or anything.
Hey, Raj?
Jay looked around. The hallway surrounding him was dark, and he couldn't hear anything.
Jay, come help me!
Jay put on a burst of speed, heading toward the sound of Raj's voice.
Raj, where are you?
Jay ducked into a large room. He caught a glimpse of Raj's light t-shirt in the dim light.
Are you okay?
Raj was hunched, over in the corner by a huge sink, not moving. Jay walked over to Raj.
Dude!
Jay slapped an affectionate arm around Raj's shoulder. Raj turned around. But it wasn't Raj. It didn't have a face. Under a cloud of dark hair, there was simply nothingness. A blank mask of pale flesh where there should have been eyes, nose, and a mouth. Jay tried to yank his arm back from the figure, but it clutched at him with ice-cold fingers. Its blank face was shifting, growing. A slit appeared, a gap forming, widening. Strings of blood-soaked skin stretching like gooey melted cheese as the ghost grew a mouth.
Oh, God!
No, please. Jay struggled, but the ghost tightened its grip, digging its fingernails into the soft flesh of his arms. Two black eyes suddenly blinked open and stared at Jay.
You have trespassed.
The ghost continued to transform. It rapidly grew into a man, wearing a dusty Japanese soldier's uniform. Ugly black tire marks marred his bloody, misshapen face. The ghost soldier dragged Jay across the room and pulled out a morgue drawer. Though Jay struggled with all his might, the ghost quickly had him strapped down to the metal slab. The soldier smiled as he leaned over Jay. It was not a nice smile. You're going to tell me everything I want to know about how you came to spy on the base. Jay frantically shook his head. I'm not a spy. The soldier gently drew the flat side of a scalpel down Jay's face. Of course, you're not a spy. You just happen to be lurking around our base. Hearing a faint echo of a scream in the distance, Raj turned his head. That sounded like Jay.
Hello? Guys?
He strained to hear more, but the hospital was silent. Raj leaned against the wall in the surgery. This whole trip had been a bust. The banging noise he'd gone to investigate earlier was nothing but an unlatched window, swinging in the breeze. But when Raj headed back to find his friends, they were gone. Raj had spent what seemed like hours wandering through the corridors of the hospital, looking for his friends. Oddly, his phone couldn't catch a signal, and the time on the clock jumped around, almost like he was passing through different time zones. Now, tired and hungry, he was waiting, hoping that Jay and Tien would find their way back to where they started. Raj tensed as he heard someone coming. He couldn't see far beyond the circle of light cast by his phone.
Hello?
Suddenly, Tien came into view.
Tien, where have you been all this time?
Tien reached Raj and gave him a little hug. Looking for you. Raj gestured at her arm. You're bleeding. Tien swiped at the blood drops welling from the welts on her arm.
Oh, I scratched my arm on something. Have you seen Jay?
Tien took Raj by the hand. He got tired of how stuffy it was in here. He's in the courtyard, getting some air.
Wait!
Raj opened the camera on his phone.
Let's at least get one selfie inside the hospital.
Raj slid an arm around Tien.
Ooh, you're cold.
Tien tensed up as they took the picture. Her smile looked more like a grimace.
Come on, let's go.
Tien began to lead Raj down the hall. Raj resisted.
Before we go, I gotta make sure I have one good shot.
He quickly scrolled through the images on his phone and stopped at the selfie he had just taken. Tien looked odd in the photo. The flash seemed to capture her skeleton, as if her flesh was semi-translucent. Raj peered at Tien, taking a step back.
What's wrong with your skin?
Tien's grip on his arm tightened. Nothing's wrong. But Tien's voice was odd, deeper than normal. Her face began to melt, and she seemed to grow taller.
Raj shook himself free from her grasp and stumbled back from Tien.
Raj caught his heel on one of the bolts set in the floor and fell. He lay on his back, stunned, in pain. Tien had transformed into a gaunt old man, wearing rags. He stared down at Raj, who was frozen, unable to move, unable to speak. Other spirits crowded around Raj, ghosts wearing hospital gowns, soldier uniforms, some with ghastly wounds. The old man spoke, and it was a terrible sound. Embedded in his speech was the voices of many. We are bound to this place where we died. Our pain is not for entertainment.
Raj screamed as cold, ghostly hands reached down into his body,
into his soul. Some months later, an urban explorer found a phone on the floor in the main ward in Old Changi Hospital. The screen was shattered, as if it had been dropped during a struggle. He took the phone home and was able to retrieve a single image, a blurry selfie with a teenage boy and girl. The boy was happily smiling for the camera, while the girl looked odd. She was skeletal, her flesh see-through, the black of her pupils swallowing up the rest of her eyes. The explorer posted the teen couple's selfie online, where it was viewed countless times, believed, disproven, dissected, and scoffed at. He also posted another picture that he had taken while exploring a bathroom in Changi Hospital, an image of a large, cracked mirror. "Help me," was scrawled across it in blood, but written backward, as if the person writing it was on the other side of the glass. Later, internet sleuths tried to link the blurry selfie to the case of three Singaporean teens who mysteriously vanished, but the authorities didn't take them seriously. Old Changi Hospital in Changi, Singapore. It's strange that a place built to bring comfort and healing would become a purgatory for souls who cannot rest in peace. Do ghosts really lurk the corridors of the abandoned Changi Hospital? Or is their existence an urban legend made up for a good internet story? Thanks for listening to Haunted Places. Don't forget to subscribe to Haunted Places on Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, or any other podcast directory. If you like what you hear, please leave a 5-star review or tell us what you think on social media. We're on Facebook and Instagram as @Parcast and Twitter @ParcastNetwork. It seems simple, but it really helps our show. A new episode comes out every Thursday. We'll see you next week. Haunted Places was created by Max Cutler. It's a production of Cutler Media and is part of the Parcast Network. It's produced by Max and Ron Cutler. Sound design by Ron Shapiro. With production assistance by Joel Stein and Paul Mahler. Additional production assistance by Maggie Admire and Carly Madden. Haunted Places is written by Candace Rogers. I'm Greg Polson.